Keep It Locked on Middays with Marcus Maben, presented by PapaJohns.com on 93.9 The Ville. And right now, enjoy three medium one-topping pizzas for $5.55 each when using the promo code MABEN5.
Welcome back. Welcome back, Midday with Marcus Maben. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. We're rolling along on a beautiful yet rainy Tuesday, or should I say yet monsoon Tuesday. And speaking of rain, someone tried to come in here and rain on the parade, and in turn, it got my man Steve all fired up. People, be easy. Be easy with your criticism, because it looks bad. It goes from criticism to looking like hate.
Well, criticism's okay, but I mean, when you talk about that, I mean, name right now, I mean, the coaches.
Do it, Steve.
The schools that would trade, that wouldn't trade for, would not trade for Bobby Petrino right now.
SEC. I'm going to write down the SEC. Nick Saban. No. You would keep Nick Saban.
Absolutely.
Now, let's go down the list.
Give me one more.
One more coach in the SEC.
LSU would trade Ed Orgeron for Bobby Petrino.
Right now.
Right now, today.
LSU. Kentucky, Tennessee, Texas A&M.
Any other SEC school.
Florida.
Period.
Mark Richt at Georgia.
No, it's Kirby Alabama. Smart.
Yeah, Kirby Smart. He's new, so he might. They might want to see what he can do.
Maybe, because it's year two.
They're a wash.
Yeah, they're a wash.
They're a wash.
Okay.
What other SECs?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, Arkansas.
We could do it all
day. Take them back.
At a heartbeat.
Who else am I missing? Like Miss.
I mean, there's other ones, but I mean, the
Mississippi
point,
State.
You hit all the big ones. I mean,
Ole Miss
in a heartbeat would take him. I mean,
right.
In the Big Ten, I can come up with two. Hardball and Urban Meyer.
Everybody else would take.
Everybody else, or even if there's a couple you could come up with, it would be
put aside your prejudice towards Bobby Petrino, and you have to say he's a top five coach in the country.
Yes. Like, so come on, man. And the recruiting is good. How about this? The caller was talking about the wide receivers. Do you know?
He said there's no separation.
Shout out to Kelly Dickey, man. Of course, he always helps me out with the stats here. Right. Jalen Smith is ninth in the nation in receiving yards right now. Top 10 receiver. Des Fitzpatrick is the best freshman receiver Louisville's ever had through three games.
But the caller said we don't got no receivers.
Playing tougher competition.
Playing against three Power Five games. And the number one defense in the nation.
And
the number one defense in the last 5 years.
Yeah. It's like, come on, man. I mean, let's not, and I'm not picking on one or two people here.
Right.
But let's not.
No, because
we're not.
Their
let's
narrative,
not do
their
this.
Narrative was a common narrative. Steve.
Yeah, I know, because it's not
so,
just
yeah,
them
Scott
that
Dean,
think that.
You represented a ton of people who say that.
But come on, man, let's not do this. Let's not do this. Bobby Petrino is an elite head coach.
Andy, thanks for joining us on 93.9. I heard you're a little worked up, my man. What's on your mind?
Oh, Rummage is calm compared to me. That last guy, he needs to get his head out of his backside, man. There's something wrong with that dude. So I'm going to make these points as quickly as I can. Number one, I've been coming to games since I was 4 years old, and we got Howard Schnellenberger. I've been there for the one-win seasons. I was there the night that there was 1,000 people in the stands, and we got smacked by Rutgers. And you could hear Steve Kragthorpe and company down there coaching. I've been there for bad coaching, bad games, bad teams, bad seasons. These people are insane. They've never played football or they've never coached football, because everything Steve Rummage just said before the break is 100% accurate. All the stuff you are talking about right now is 100% accurate. I give the coaching staff an A-, and everybody can say, oh, why an A-? Here's the deal. They put our team in a position to win all three games. You take away one very questionable call, and that's a 14-19 game after Lamar's 46-yard run instead of a pick six, and it's 26-7. It's a different ball game. We're in a position to win. I give the athletes on the field a C because they're not producing the way they should based on the way the game plan was drawn up. And like I said, the people that are out there that are criticizing, you all don't know what bad is. We're 2-1. We got a chance. We legitimately have a chance to be favored in every game we played moving forward, except maybe Florida State. could end 11-1, still in the conversation, be in a better spot than Penn State was last year, who finished fifth. And I don't get it, man. They need to go to Lexington and cheer for them, because that's what's expected there, not here.
How much of that is just emotion, in your opinion?
About 85%, but the other 15 is dead on.
Appreciate it, man. I dropped the mic. Who we got on? Who we got on one? Brian Hall. Sorry about that. You're doing a great job back there. Jason, thanks for joining me on 93.9. What's on your mind?
How y'all doing?
Good, chilling.
Hey, man, I do got a couple questions. Do y'all think that he's too, like, with me, he look like he's just too conservative, like, at times, like, do you think that he should have went to, like, a no-huddle offense just to keep the defense off balance and tire him out? I mean, maybe, I don't know if I'm looking at it wrong, but I just feel like we should run a no-huddle offense to always keep the defense, no matter who we play, just to keep the defense off balance and tire them out. I mean, do you think that'll be, like, do you think that's too far-fetched?
Here's the thing. I appreciate the call.
Yeah.
Here's the thing with what Jason's saying and what a lot of people are saying, something like that. Clemson is a very, very, very good team. Bobby Petrino has been designing this offense for Lamar Jackson and developing it for 2 years straight, right? From the time you knew Lamar Jackson was the guaranteed starter, he has been developing this offense. If you abort your offense in a time like this, you can never go back. If I'm spending an entire two seasons training you to see certain things, and sometimes you see it and sometimes you don't, and when you see it, it's a thing of beauty, and when you don't, we all look bad as a unit, right? If I bail on this, I'm bailing on the future potential championship run of this team, right? At some point, either Lamar Jackson is going to be an experienced quarterback that can run this offense to perfection, or Juwan Pass is going to come in and he's going to be a sharper passer, and everybody else on the team is going to know the system perfectly. And Juwan Pass might be a better thrower, or maybe Lamar Jackson by the end of the year might be seeing these things better. You cannot. And I hear you, Jason. I'd say it too. Just run and gun. You know, we're losing by 20. Just run and gun. Right? No. That's why in games like this, you have to stick with the run. Even when you're not converting, sometimes you just have to stick with the run and run 3 minutes off the clock. Get one first down, run 3 or 4 minutes, you get the rest. Yes, you're not scoring, but sometimes it's better to get 6 minutes of defense rest than get that 3 points. Moving the ball down the field, getting the field goal because you're playing, you know, high pace. But if you're not consistent, if you're not developing your game plan, if you're not sticking to your original script, whatever it is, you know, you're throwing away the future. Because what happens? You get in a tough game, Lamar goes back to scrambling, just like he did against Clemson. You have to teach him, listen, the competition is going to get better, but the system works. The system works, and when we go in here and we look at this film, you can say, Lamar, why are you running right here? There's two guys in front of that Clemson defender. Yes, he's taller. Yes, you can see him more. The play's there. You looked over there, Trevion Samuel's wide open right here. I'm not going to change the offense. You know, I'm not going to change the system and tell you just scramble and go, you know, hurry up and scramble. Trevion's going to be open. And I'm gonna stick with you, Lamar, until you see Trevion, until you buy yourself that extra second mentally and see Trevion Sam. Because when you do, when you trust the system, we're never gonna lose again. And then Juwan Pass is gonna back you up, and then we're never gonna lose again.
No, I don't disagree with that. And I do agree with the call. I mean, sure, you want to see, I love the fast-paced offense too, but also you got to go with personnel. You got to go with just, Bobby is great of an offensive mind as he is. He's going to stay true to what, you know, and a guy like him, the reason he's such a good offensive mind is he can tweak with the, you know, with the times, with the personnel. And sure, I mean,
I still want to see him run the ball more.
I think everybody says that. I mean, I'm not, that is criticism.
I think he knows that too.
Yeah, I don't, and that I don't mind. Sure, absolutely, you need to run the ball. I think you're going to see it more. I think you're going to see, here's the deal, Day Williams, back at practice, or able to start practicing.
I did see that.
Now, it's going to take a little bit,
right,
obviously. But the next few weeks, you're going to get Colin Wilson involved in the run game.
You need to send Dave Williams over there with Patino and get on.
They may. But I don't know. They got pretty good staff over there. It's a football program, too. So, but, I mean, I'm telling you, man.
I need instant conditioning.
If you can get.
8 days.
If you're talking in 6 weeks, what if you have a serious run game of Colin Wilson, Reggie, Malik Williams.
Day Williams
gets in. Yeah, I mean, that's. It's going to be something
Alexander
special.
Alexander back.
Well, yeah.
Chris, thanks for joining me on 93.9, my man. What's on your mind?
Hey, Marcus, how you doing today?
Good.
Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I called the afternoon drive yesterday, and I made a point, and the guys seemed to agree upon me, and it kind of contradicted a point that me and Steve kind of got into it about yesterday. If you broaden out the scope a little bit, Louisville has lost four of their last six games. Three of those losses were blowouts. One of them was to a 28-point underdog. Besides the North Carolina game, which they did cover, but I watched the game and I didn't think that game was tight until late.
Right.
Louisville has not played a solid football game, in my opinion, since Boston College last year.
Oh.
Now, if you want to look back, I mean, look at the schedule, look at who they played, look at the wins and losses, and you tell me if that was the last time that was the Louisville that I remember was Boston College last year. Now, I mean, you can dismiss this issue if you want, but I kind of understand what the caller that totally said. You know, the sky is not falling at Louisville. Don't get it twisted. Louisville is a solid football team, miles, light years ahead of UK. But I do see that there are some lingering problems that are going to take some time to fix, and I don't know if it's going to be this year. I don't know if it's going to be next year. But I'm just saying that it's not all hunky dory, and this was just a loss to the number two team in the country and stuff like that. Louisville has not looked like Louisville, in my opinion, since Boston College last year.
What is Louisville supposed to look like?
I mean, what do they look like?
The team that absolutely destroyed Florida State. So they should hang
43 point win on the number two team in the country every game.
No. I'm not saying that, but against Purdue. Last year, if they would have played the Purdue team they played around the time when they played Florida State, they'd have hung 60 on them. That North Carolina defense, Georgia Tech put almost 40 on them guys. Okay, that game should have never been close. Georgia Tech is horrible, and they should have killed North Carolina. Okay, I'm just saying, look, I'm just being a realist. I know you're going to dismiss it because I'm a UK fan. I understand that. But really, truly look at the schedule, the teams they played since Boston College last year, and you give me your opinion on whether or not you think this is the Louisville team that you expected after those first three games and that blowout against Florida State.
Vince, I appreciate the call.
Yes, I'm going to dismiss it because you're a UK fan. Yeah, they're 2-1. Yeah, I kind of expected to be sitting right where we're sitting.
I didn't know that was Vince. So I was
what's the deal?
I was talking to him like he was another caller.
I know. I don't get that. I mean, I don't
Boston
know what.
Boston College?
Yeah, they looked good against Boston College. But I mean, what do you want to do? Yeah, yes. If Louisville looked the way they looked against Florida State last year every game, yes, they would be the defending national champions.
Boston College hasn't won a conference game in 4 years.
No. It's like, come on, man. Like, what?
The last time you saw them look good was Boston College.
Like, where's the standard there?
Florida State is the standard.
Yes.
That's the basement now.
Yes. And Bobby's held to the West Virginia game in 06. You got it. I mean, like, what are we talking about here? We're 2-1.
11 years ago.
We're 2-1, and we took one on the chin Saturday night. Yeah.
With that being said, I'm supposed to be in much better mood. My man Hodge Turner has just joined us. No, Steve. Be relaxed 1 second, Steve, because we're going to cut to a quick commercial break. Steve, how tall are you, 6'4"?
No, about 6'3".
Hodge Turner and Steve Rumsch are 6'4 and 6'9".
I said 6'3". But yeah.
They're 6'4 and 6'9". Go along with me, Steve.
I'll take
we're
it.
Doing this for effect.
Right.
We are in a studio right now because of the design.
Yes.
Because of the feng shui of this studio.
That I can't physically turn.
not accommodate more than 6 feet of joint height in this building.
I'm literally going to leave this show. And I'm going to listen. And I was really looking forward to talking to Hodge about some things. But I'm physically going to leave this show and go home because I'm going to let y'all finish it out. Because
physically incapable of all existing in this studio at this moment.
I know,
Steve. We're sorry. Here at Midday with Marcus Maven, yes, and 93.9 Studios are sorry we cannot accommodate the co-host of this show and a guest.
I know. We apologize.
We apologize.
I apologize to Hodge because I was probably going to ask a lot more insightful questions than you're going to.
I guarantee you would.
The interview's not going to be as good.
You're absolutely right.
And he's done a lot of things. He's doing a lot of things right now.
Absolutely. Listen, and he's on the recruiting trail.
Right now.
You are going to actually pick his brain and steal all of his recruits.
Yes, and now we're not going to get as
you
much.
You are going to get numbers, you're parents, gonna get more connections. You are going to get all the inside information Hodge Turner
and
has.
Now you're going to get just more just old stories.
Our recruiting is going to suffer because you're too tall for the studio.
Yes, I agree.
Midday with Marcus Maven, 8150. 93.9 is the number on 93.9 The Ville.
You're locked on Middays with Marcus Maben, presented by PapaJohns.com on 93.9 The Ville. And right now, enjoy three medium one-topping pizzas for $5.55 each when using the promo code MABEN5.
Welcome back. Midday with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station, people. You know I get excited when I get to say my day ones are in the studio. When my day ones are on the phone, and when I mean day one, I really, really do mean day one. I'm talking about day one. I'm talking about recruiting trips. I'm talking about Derby Classic. How you doing? My name's Hodge. How you doing? My name's Marcus. I'm talking about day one in the dorms. You remember, people, I went on a rant, and Hodge, you'll appreciate this. Mm-hmm. I went on a rant. Almost got me fired. Almost got me saying words that I shouldn't say on air. You know what this rant was about, Hodge? It was about move-in day. Move-in day at the University of Louisville has become a travesty. I blame society's ills on gym teachers who didn't make kids participate in gym class and move-in day at the University of Louisville. All of society's ills come down to those two institutions. I can talk about the gym teachers later on. Move-in day. Do you know at move-in day, they had volunteers with big, huge boxes that were placed on scooters to come out to your vehicle and assist you moving your stuff into the dorm room? To me, that's where we lost society. If you do not have to come, they had people with maps and concierges, right? If you don't have to meet somebody on move-in day and say, hey, my man, think you can help me get this stereo upstairs? You think you can help me with this gym bag? You think you could help me get this, you know, whatever that's heavy? That's, you meet more people on move-in day that you will know for the rest of your life. You're forced to talk to others. You're forced to communicate because later on down the line, both of you are going to starve and both of you are going to remember helping each other move in day. And now I'm broke. You got food. Let's negotiate. Man. These are facts. Hashtag facts only. Hodge Turner is a day one who we helped each other move into the dorm rooms on move in day. And these kids, Hodge, don't even have to speak to each other.
Stevenson Hall.
You can't. Can you believe it?
No. I mean, it's a.
Or am I overreacting?
No, you're not overreacting. But I will say that on the other end of it, as a college basketball coach and like volunteering and community service type stuff.
Right.
For the past 12 years, unless I was out of town or faked a back injury, I've had to do move-in day freshman And I've had the same exact thought, like, get your box upstairs by yourself, like
or network.
Yeah.
Or network.
Talk to somebody.
Actually, Rick Pitino, listen, people scoff at Rick Pitino sounding like the curmudgeon, mm-hmm. saying, you young punks don't even talk to each other. You don't even talk to each other eye to eye anymore. And that's a problem.
Yo, so I have to, when I talk to my players or I talk to recruits and we're talking about, hey, did you talk to so-and-so? Talking doesn't necessarily mean talking anymore. Like, I say, like, I was like, I had this great conversation with this kid the other day. I was like, did you actually talk to him or was it a text conversation? 8.5 times out of 10,
oh,
it's texting. And I guess I'm the old curmudgeon now.
You're right, you know right, right, right.
You're exactly right. I see where you're going with the theory of how move-in day is society.
It's a society ill.
You're absolutely right, and I contribute to it.
Right. you're as guilty as the rest of us. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but it's not by choice.
Right.
I gotta do my job.
And let's be clear, there is some good, helping yeah. out and let somebody feel comfortable and ease their way into the community service. But again, there's some gain to be uncomfortable. Never mind here and there. I can't believe I just went off on this tangent. I got you in the studio for okay. So Hodge Turner is in former University of Louisville basketball player. Hodge Turner is in town doing what?
Recruiting.
Oh, leave our kids alone, Hodge Turner.
Yeah, man. I mean, there's a lot here, man. the talent pool here, man, it's crazy. We were just talking off air about, the four or five spots. I got to go to another spot today.
Wait a minute. There's four or five spots in this area that have Division I level basketball talent.
Absolutely.
Easily.
Absolutely. Easy. And it's I think it's a bit, better than me. You know, this area.
Give me all your names and numbers and addresses.
Nope. That's an NCAA violation.
right.
I'm not into violations. I'm here to, my goal is to leave the studio and we both still have jobs.
Right. and we're not under any kind of NCAA investigation. Now, speaking of, isn't that funny? Like the fact that you're a former player, you also have like almost a new layer of appreciation and lack of appreciation for the way the rules are drawn out. How have you, what is it like? What is a typical recruiting, a job like yours? How much is follow the rules? Like how much do you have to focus on following actual rules? Are you in danger of violating rules at all times?
No, you're not in danger because even the rules that I may not be completely like in agreement with.
Right.
I get it. I understand why they are.
But you know them.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I tell people this all the time because I have this, people I ask all the time. I'm like, I can't come see you in July because this, there's certain days you can, yeah. But like, it's like anything else. It's like driving or your rules here at the job. People would be like, dang, that's crazy. You got to do this. But like, you got to stay on the right side of the road. Like,
right.
You do it.
It becomes natural.
Yeah, it becomes very natural, and it's probably even easier as a player. I mean, 90% of coaches played anyway, so it's not like you had to like learn something completely new because you were on the other side of the rules before. There's nobody gave me any money. Nobody changed.
You did?
Nope. You did a couple times.
Oh, he's just making that up, people. He's joking.
No, but like
statute of limitations.
Exactly, right? Yeah, this has been a while. We graduated in 84.
Right.
No, but you get anything else in life, you get used to it, you do it the same day. Like I talk to somebody who works at a bank or works at a car dealership and they like one of my best friends is a car salesman.
Right.
And he goes through all these lists of stuff that he can and can't do. And I'm like, oh, I never knew that. But right. it's the same with my job. You're there for a while, especially as a former player. You get hip to the rules pretty quick.
Talking with Hodge Turner, I always enjoy getting you either on air this first time in the booth. Take a second to. Here's the problem: when we discuss things and we talk about kids and all the benefits they get and how they should be paid, and you're one who's passionate about having those arguments,
mm-hmm.
you do realize people this man in the studio with me is the exact definition of why the kids will never, never be paid like professional athletes. Take a second to describe to people what your experience was like from the time you worked at a bank as an, you know, think, okay, like walk people through some of the benefits and opportunities you got as a member of the University of Louisville that just being on scholarship or being a part of basketball has afforded you, because it's disgusting. Like, it's disgusting how much opportunity you've been able to have. Like, when people ask me, why am I so, you know, committed to the university or loyal to the university, you know, even if there's something I disagree with,
right,
it's because the opportunities that you and I both had,
mm-hmm,
and still have, you know, are like, they're mind-blowing. They're absolutely mind-blowing. Okay, start. Your first job here was at a bank.
Right.
You put on a suit, or you put on a nice dress pants and slacks, yep, and a tie.
Same ones. Every day.
Fair point.
Right.
That's a great,
exactly,
point.
Yeah.
But you worked at a bank as, yeah, a real job, a real tax-paying, you know, short hour job. Okay. Kind of describe some of your
well, look, like,
your benefits.
To go, maybe I'm going backwards or starting from the wrong point, but like, you're not in that chair and I'm not here as a guest or out recruiting without all the things that we got,
right,
as an athlete. So I show up on campus. I, you know, we show up the same time. We're, you know, working and playing and playing pickup. And then, you know, you go in, fast forward 5 years for me, all the ups and downs, but like, there was never, and I don't understand some of these. I mean, everybody's situation is different, but like, there was never a time where I wanted for anything except playing time.
health and playing time.
Exactly. Yeah. So like, I had my injuries, whatever, you know, the ACL stuff, but like, there were so many opportunities. I sat with Dr. Jones yesterday. Like, you know, that guy was at my wedding. One of my mentors, a professor, you know, I'm Dr. Jones. And I'm went over to Muhammad's house last night.
I can't think of his
night.
First name.
Ricky Jones.
I partied with him three weeks ago. Okay, go,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. So like, all these amazing opportunities I got, despite the injuries.
And that's just a simple, like, knowing people who know a lot of things. You say you at Muhammad's house recently.
Yep. Man, look, I might have talked to you last night.
No,
you or Luke. His rooms have rooms. Like, he's doing like, and he's, you know, and it's not all chalked up to you got a scholarship. Obviously, he had a different situation.
Right.
But like, just the opportunities that are afforded, that were afforded me and you from the starting point of basketball, college basketball, is like, it's ridiculous.
And specific to Louisville, yes, some things, but these also are general to every student. We're talking about the difference between opening your mouth,
yep,
and talking to someone.
Right.
Will catapult you into a successful life out of most Division I programs. There's the opportunity to be a catapult, you know, all, simple awareness, mm-hmm, and appreciation. Again, I say, having Hodge Turner in here, he is the spokesperson for why an athlete will not and shall not receive any money.
And I think, I appreciate debate. I hear the other side, and sometimes they make me pause. Like, oh, that's a good point. And,
right.
But one thing that people, I think, it's kind of glossed over. First, well, one thing that doesn't get glossed over, but I think it doesn't get enough attention, is like, at GW it's $70,000 a year. At Louisville it's whatever. I don't know what it is, but it's money. Money I ain't got.
Right.
Right. Money my parents didn't have. Like,
you got,
like,
kids, Hodge.
Got three of them.
You better stay connected to these universities, because before,
look,
you know it.
Look, legacy.
Right. Get ready for GW, kids.
Yeah, but like so the value of the strictly dollar value of the education, I think, like,
gets dismissed.
And also, maybe not you and I, but like, a lot of these kids, we focus too much on basketball and football too.
Right.
And one thing that people don't know is like, the money that we're not getting is because, well, partly because it's funding all the other sports that are non-revenue generating.
Isn't it fascinating how this is the epicenter of non-revenue generating sport, mm-hmm, by Tom Jurich? And when you talk about things that get glossed over, is the emphasis that he came in.
This campus? I got lost on the campus right. that I went to school for
and
5 years.
And I'm like, talking about his support
yeah.
for non-revenue generating, like the effect of that, the wave effect into the other sports, into the university, man. Into the growth. Like this is exhibit A.
Yeah, and another thing that I think, like, you try to juxtapose the lack of money that student athletes are getting or not getting with how much money the coaches and administrators make.
Right.
And one thing I think that's not fair is, like, these people didn't do some backroom deal to get $1 million salary.
Right.
I don't care who you're talking about. Jim Boeheim, Rick Pitino, Mike Krzyzewski. All these dudes grinded it out. Like,
right.
It wasn't like they just woke up and say, hey, I'm a millionaire basketball coach. Like, everything that you're upset that they get in Clemson's, you know, practice facility or locker room or Oklahoma State, what all those shiny things that cause so much debate on both sides.
Right.
Like, all of this stuff came from working. Like, those same people that are making millions of dollars were broke student athletes too.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And they possess a skill set that's
yeah.
tops.
And another thing is, like, if you're so upset about it, don't support the program. Don't buy a ticket. You know, don't go to a game.
How much do people just like to complain about things that are just what they are? I mean, as a coach, you have got to experience people who like to complain more than anything in conversation.
Haterade was a popular drink.
right.
Like, it's just like people take solace and take comfort in complaining about something that somebody else has, and it's like I do it too.
Right.
You know, I'm sure
it's
stuff
not a
that
judgmental
I
thing.
Yeah, I'm sure that I complain about stuff that my neighbor has or my friend has or my enemy has. Like, we all do it, but like the it's just maybe I'm more sensitive to it because it's my industry. You're talking about a job. You're talking about a salary that I shouldn't make or an opportunity I shouldn't have because the kids are not getting paid.
Right.
But I was that kid. You were that kid.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like, there's so many opportunities. Like I said, not you and I, but like there's so many kids that are getting an education, getting a degree because of basketball that they at a school that they would not be admitted to. Right? Like,
yeah.
like they would not get into Louisville or GW or Tennessee or whatever. Like,
it just, right. Now, just to pull this off a soapbox, we got a question
yep.
from Steve Rummage.
My man.
That he was not able to ask you. Serious question. I know he can't talk specifics. This is prep school he's recruiting. For surrounding schools, like would he come see kids normally? Wait a minute, Steve. Prep schools.
Yeah,
I get the point of his question.
Yeah.
Is that the focus of your recruiting trips nowadays? Prep schools over high schools.
It's not the sole focus. It's not instead of
pie chart your recruiting focus. George Washington's and major Division I. college programs, pie chart, high school, AAU circuit, prep school.
High school's third for sure. It's like probably.
So the budget. So your budget is less than 20% high school.
Yeah, I mean,
Wow.
I've never done the analysis. You
right.
know, but like, if I had to guess,
right.
Yeah, because kids. You got to follow. You got to follow where the kids are going. I don't really care. You know,
right.
like I'd rather go to a high school, and I'd rather a kid stay at a high school for 4 years, and then instead of reclass and declass and do an extra.
Has that made the game? You know, the recruiting circuit very complicated with the reclassifications and the prep schools.
Doesn't affect us too much because like those kids that you know fall back and jump forward. A lot of time, like a kid. Well, I guess I shouldn't say names, but the kid.
Mitchell yeah. Robinson?
I saw that written down. No.
Oh, yeah. that was for Steve.
Okay.
You're not allowed to say that, though.
Okay.
Wait, he's not going to school. Are we even allowed to talk about him now? Wait.
Are
you allowed to be media right now, or is that a violation as well?
I mean, it depends on what we're talking about.
I'll pay you to make you media for the day. I'll buy you lunch or something.
All right. No, I mean, that situation is like we don't have to say names. We know who we're talking. Even if you hadn't said his name, like right. we know that
these
situation.
Are the couple of kids we're talking about.
Yeah, and that's kind of rarefied air, and then that gets back to the whole guidance and like who's in your ear type thing, like because that's unfortunate.
That's fascinating because the narrative on local radio, and it's just what I hear, has been piece of crap kid, right? And I think that, you know, debate me or say I'm right or wrong.
Right.
I think it always goes unappreciated that these are kids, the actual kids being guided by parents, handlers, right. Adopted, you know, right. What do you call it? I am a legal guardian, yeah. You know, guardians yeah. and things like yeah. that. So I think the narrative that the kids are just arrogant, entitled, jumping schools, you know.
Yeah, anything you talk about, like whether it's like why this kid went here or why he made this decision, why he transferred, and like
it's still 90% parents and yeah. these kids aren't really making the decision.
Now, if I leave GW or if you leave this radio station and go somewhere else and it's a bad move, that's on you.
Right.
Because we are 38, 40 some odd years old. But you can if I make the same mistake.
It's still on you.
Yeah, and like everything, like take my situation for example. You know how I was just laid up for 2 years, didn't play three. You know, I had so many knee surgeries that I went and watched your knee surgery.
Hashtag facts only.
Yeah.
I woke up from my knee surgery. Hodge Turner had saw inside of my bones and body.
Yeah, I seen some stuff you've never seen.
Right. That was brutal. But again,
yeah.
You
but
make
like
a point.
But. The thing is, like,
kudos to you for staying sane, by the way.
Questionable.
Right. Good point.
But what was I going to say? So the decisions.
So,
you take my situation now. Most kids, and I'm not some hero. I'm a product of my upbringing, right? Like, good or bad. Like,
right.
But like, I call home to talk about playing time. Click. You know what I mean? Like,
Your parents would not entertain your complaining, your lack of enjoying your situation because you made the decision.
And even then, when transferring wasn't such a huge deal, we had teammates that transferred and we had transfers that came in. But like, even when transferring wasn't a huge deal, it was even at that point, whatever many years ago, there were people in my ear all the time. Like you should go down. Like.
Because they've seen you dominate in high school, and they've seen your potential, and they know it's not going appreciated because you're injured here.
And they assume that I don't value anything about Louisville except the basketball process. They don't understand my relationship with professors and teammates and maybe
opportunity.
Exactly. And not wanting to start over and finishing something that I started.
Yes.
And it was literally never a question for me. Like, even when people tried to make it a question for me,
the desire to accomplish something is underappreciated as well. People think that's a perfect segue into what I wanted to ask you about in particular, the new transfer rule. And sometimes it's referred to as the Wild West rule. Mm-hmm. Talking with Hodge Turner here on 93.9, by the way, the Wild West transfer rule. Now, you read about it or you hear the discussion about it when it's going to conversations with the higher-ups, with the NCAA, who you worked for at some point.
Mm-hmm.
You panicked. Or you thought this will not be as crazy as people think because there's an inherent, I want to finish what I started. I went to the school to do, you know, these kids are determined. They're not quitters by nature. They're not look for better situation by nature.
It's a game. It's going to be, if it happens, it's already a game changer, even with the rules as they are now.
Right.
But as much as I believed that I wasn't going to leave and I was going to finish my deal, I do, and I flop all over on this issue.
Right.
Like, I don't have a solid, like.
Because you and I, as well, we came here under a probation and lost the tournament. It was later overturned, which it wasn't necessary for it to be overturned, unfortunately.
Right.
But because of your injury, that was the difference, people. One piece makes all the difference.
I tell people all the time, I'm the reason Patino got hired.
Oh, for sure. Listen,
still waiting for a check.
If we have Hodge Turner. this is 20-12, not 12-20.
Yeah.
But, transfer rule, you know, you say it's a game changer.
Yeah.
You would have, with that rule, you would have transferred.
I don't think so. But most would?
Okay, let me ask you this.
Most would today.
Would the pressure for you to transfer from outside people been ratcheted up if you didn't have to sit out of here?
It might have been, but it wouldn't have ratcheted up enough to overcome my parents, you know what I mean, like just my brother and my sister, like They all had their challenges, and they both played college ball
right
before me. I'm the youngest, and so I like as much as I don't think that I would have transferred. Who knows? But at the same time, on the flip side of the issue, I do think that everybody deserves that right. Like you have
to play immediately.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no. Well, I shouldn't. No, I'm still juggling
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
right. Right.
Because I think. People talk about how the kids are exploited and like they don't, you know, they don't have that their rights aren't strong enough or whatever. But at the same time, the whole model of college athletics would be just flipped upside down.
Do you think college kids should have a union to teach them how to, I don't want to say exploit the university, but take better advantage of the opportunities in the university?
I don't know if they need a union, but I think they need more of a voice.
Representation.
With the NCAA. They need more. They need more of a solidified body. It's hard to do it with thousands, hundreds of thousands of athletes.
Of independent schools.
But at the same time, you know, you got like SAC, the Student Athlete Advisory Committee, and those things like that.
Which
those
I was a member of.
Yep, me too. And
you and I, we did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did that.
Pizza.
I love bragging about that, you know, just to see the inner workings. And you remember when Tom Jersey's my favorite story?
Yeah.
First day to what does Tom Jersey say? He says, I need you guys to go back to your teams and go to the softball, go to the volleyball, go to, you know, whatever mm-hmm. non-revenue generates. But you were there with me.
Yeah.
That's a real day one, people. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I mean, and like, I think getting back to the whole transfer issue and like,
right.
you know, kids, you know, decision making. Like, I think they should be able to transfer, and I'm torn on the whole immediate eligibility.
Because right.
I've been affected negatively and positively on both sides of it. We've had kids leave. We've had kids come that came from a different school. So that's why it's hard for me to really.
So is it just kind of an adaptation to a new rule?
Adapt
kind
and
of
adjust. Thing? Yeah, I mean, you have to. Like, it's not going to, like, it may be crazy for a year or two, but you get used to everything. Our recruiting rules have changed over, like, pretty much every years.
How long is it going to take you to get back to Louisville to coach?
That's a great question.
Are we gonna hurt your negotiating with GW by answering that question? Because you do know this is a nationally, you know, streamed show now, and that somebody in GW is listening to you.
Somebody
sideways negotiate. I am probably guilty of tampering as we speak.
Well, I think it's fair because there's a personal
there's
connection
an alumni
to it.
There's
like
attachment.
like that's the only school that I would ever feel comfortable, because I love my job. I love where I work. I love where I have worked.
Make the papers, GW.
But I feel like it's fair to talk about alumni.
to negotiate with the university you came from.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, just like, you know, I started off the conversation kind of talking about your path. Before we get you out of here, I just want to know people to know kind of the guy who's talking mm-hmm. has done what from the time he came. Just like give me a general resume of some of the things you've done and University of Louisville has allowed you to do before we get out of here.
So 6 years at GW, and then before that 6 years at Vermont, and then before that 2 years at University of Maryland as academic coordinator for men's basketball.
You were an academic coordinator at the university.
Right? Scott Saliday.
Yes.
Is he still there?
I don't know.
Yeah, that was my man.
I see him all the time.
That was my man.
Okay, before Maryland.
Intern at NCAA for a year, which was awesome.
Interned at the NCAA.
Yeah, so I got a.
Are they going to take the banner?
No.
Is that a radio answer or?
That's a hopeful answer.
Yeah, okay.
But I also think it's true.
Right.
I think it's there's so many layers to it, but I don't.
How closely do you follow that emotionally?
Oh, no, I don't.
Yeah.
It's because it'll disrupt my whole day.
Yeah, it's a passionate. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I can't.
Okay, your experience with working, interning at the NCAA, how did you get that job?
So, Scott Saliday and Christine Simatakalos, remember her? She was another
academic. You're asking me if I remember the academic counselors, Hodge Turner.
Well, hey, but anyway.
Of course I remember the academic counselors, but... I like to joke that I don't know them as well as I should have.
Somebody, one of them, if not both of them, hit me to the opportunity of the internship opportunity. It was
something that was available to every basketball player.
Yeah,
the same conversation, the same mm-hmm. the same pathway.
Yeah.
It was available to each one of the players that you played with your entire career.
Yeah, exactly. And then so coming into my fifth year, finishing up my grad program, I learned about this opportunity.
What was your major?
In undergrad?
Yeah.
Pan-African Studies.
Postgrad.
Higher education with a concentration in sport administration.
Okay.
And so it fit. You know, it was like, it was, my dad always told me, undergrad, do something that you really like and are passionate about, but grad school, start thinking about career stuff.
So, yeah, future.
And I knew that in some capacity I was going to work in athletics. I didn't know that, but I knew I wanted to.
Right.
So I fill out the application and write the essay or whatever you have to do, get the letters of recommendation or whatever, and I'm feeling pretty good about it. And I can't remember if it was before or after the interview process, because they flew everybody out for like a round table interview. It was really
nerve wracking.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But you know, I went to school with
people. The fake humble Hodge Turner just gave that. Yeah, but I did my thing.
No, I was gonna say that, you know, going to school with you for 4 years enlightened me to be able to handle myself in those situations.
See what I'm saying, people? Still sharp and still.
Yeah. So but I can't remember if it was before or after the interview process, because that was like a filtering. Patino asked me, he's like, I know, I think it was Tom Jernstedt, like he was a exec at the, he had nothing to do with the internship process, but he's like, if you really want this, I can make a call for you. So I don't know.
Right.
I thought it was, my interview skills. Yeah, maybe it was, right. Maybe it was,
you may or may not have had guardian angels,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
but helping you. But again, the reason I asked you to explain your path is to say, these opportunities are available to people who talk. Kids listening to the show, parents listening to the show today, that was what I was trying to get across. That's what I wanted to get across by interrogating Hodge Turner. I need his story to be passed along, to be told to your children, to be appreciated, because every day we're arguing about who should be fired and what, you know, right, guy doesn't belong here and things like this. It's important that you hear these parts of the story, not just the salacious stuff, the grind, that is athlete, the success that is athlete. Man, I appreciate you sharing so much of yourself, so much of your story. We got to get out of here.
Thanks for
that
having
was,
me,
that
man.
Was such a great interview. You will come on the show much more often. You have a lot to tell. You have a lot to share. We have a lot to debate. It was really, really insightful.
Amen.
People,
I appreciate it.
People, that's what you get. Midday with Marcus Maven. People, Steve Rummage was not able to participate in this conversation today. Write your local counselor, governor, mayor, demand the restructuring of the studio that is 93.9.
Knock a wall out.
People, 10 to 12 every day. We love having you here. I got a special, special week lined up. You stay here at 10 o'clock every day. 8150, 93.9 is always the number. Thank you to 502 Cafe. Thank you to Derwin Webb. Thank you. Brian Hall, you want to add in our thank yous, our special thank yous for this weekend's coverage?
I did. I wanted to thank RushOrderTees.com for ESPN Blackout shirts. They print custom apparel fast. They make your design on your deadline. Call 1-800-620-1233 or visit RushOrderTees.com. And I would also like to thank the DirtCheapScreenPrinting.com. For ESPN Louisville College Game Day t-shirts. So thank you for you all, because they gave us our blackout shirts and our College Game Day shirts.
Great job in there today, producer. I was all over the place. Midday with Marcus Maven on 93.9.